Kentucky's most advanced medical care is UK Healthcare. It's time now for UK Healthcare's Health Talk Show, Advances and Insights. Here's Melanie Cole.
The Fertility Preservation Program at UK Healthcare can help men and women and children of all ages preserve their fertility before they undergo medical treatment that might affect their ability to have children in the future. My guest today is Dr. Leslie Appiah. She's board certified in obstetrics and gynecology and fellowship trained in pediatric and adolescent gynecology at UK Healthcare. Welcome to the show, Dr. Appiah. Tell us a little bit about why people with cancer or, you know, medical things that they have going on would want to think about fertility preservation.
Thank you for having me on the air. Cancer treatments can have a significant impact on fertility, and fertility is an important quality of life indicator when a patient has completed their therapy and is in survivorship. So all patients who have a cancer diagnosis need to speak with their oncologist about the effects of the cancer treatment on their ability to have children in the future.
So what are some options? And this is called oncofertility, correct? This is
correct.
This specialized type of medicine that you do that helps people going through cancer treatments to preserve their fertility. And what a wonderful field that you're in. Tell us a little bit about some of those options when people ask you.
Sure. So for our male patients, we have several options. For the men or the boys who have not undergone puberty, there are some investigational options that we can use to freeze testicular tissue. For the young boys who are pubertal, we can bank sperm. And for our young adult and older male patients, we can also bank sperm. It's important that we speak to all males so that we can provide that opportunity to them for future childbearing. For our female population, we are able to freeze eggs as well as freeze embryos. We also have investigational therapies to freeze ovarian tissue. We typically reserve that therapy for patients who are very high risk of losing their ability to have children and cannot use the other options of egg and embryo freezing.
So let's talk about some of these options specifically. And women think, you know, as they're going through breast cancer treatment or cervical cancer, any of these things, and if they're of childbearing age, what's involved? Are these painful procedures? And how long do they sort of last? How long can these things be egg freezing or sperm free tissue? How long do they last?
Sure. So for our patients who undergo egg and embryo freezing, it takes about 10 to 14 days to stimulate the egg to mature. We then sedate the patient lightly and retrieve those eggs and then freeze them. Or in the situation of embryo freezing, we'll take the woman's egg and place it with her partner's sperm or donor sperm and create an embryo. We then freeze that tissue, we freeze the embryos or the eggs indefinitely. So we know that we can freeze embryos and eggs for many, many years, and we typically recommend that patients wait until they are past their five-year mark before they try to pursue a pregnancy. Regarding ovarian tissue, that tissue can also be frozen indefinitely. That does require a minimally invasive procedure called laparoscopy, where we place a camera into the abdomen, remove an ovary, and then freeze that ovarian tissue. That procedure takes maybe 30 minutes, and the patient can go on to their cancer treatment the next day. That ovarian tissue is then frozen indefinitely, and when the patient is ready to use the tissue, we would thaw the tissue and transplant it back into her pelvis, and the patient can conceive at that point. And we know that that tissue remains good in the pelvis for about 7 years.
Wow, how fascinating. Now, do sometimes these people do these types of preservation and then their cancer treatment goes about and then 5 years later they want to get pregnant and they don't use what they've saved, they just can get pregnant with what they've still got going on?
Yes. So we recommend that all patients try to conceive spontaneously. And if they are not able to do that, then to pursue using either the eggs, the embryos, or the ovarian tissue that they have frozen.
Now, what about, like, we hear about radiation and certainly during treatment, Dr. Appiah, so what about, like, shielding certain parts of your body? Does that really work? I mean, we always get the lead, you know, smocks on for various and sundry tests that we get. But during cancer treatment, can we shield spots?
That's an excellent question. And yes, we can. In the males, we can protect the testes by shielding. And in females, we can do one of two things. We can shield the area with kind of a radiation field, or we can move the ovaries out of the field of radiation. That also requires a minimally invasive procedure. So again, laparoscopy. We move the ovary out to the sidewall of the pelvis and the abdomen, and then the patient would receive radiation in the pelvis. The success rates are excellent, 85 to 90%, but unfortunately, this therapy is underutilized. Many patients aren't aware that this is an option, and as we continue to advance the field of oncofertility, we are training more providers to remember to offer this therapy to patients.
Now, what about, you spoke about the embryo a little bit, and when these are made and then they're frozen, how mature are they? And is there a way to sort of, if a woman is afraid of her lifespan or she really wants to have a baby, is there a way to speed up the process a little bit?
In terms of maturing eggs, it does take a minimum of 10 days to allow the egg to mature. And then once we remove the egg in the mature state, we can freeze it at that state. And then the woman can use it in the future. There are some new technologies to remove immature eggs in the event that the woman does not have 10 days or 14 days to delay her cancer therapy. The hope is that we can remove immature eggs from the ovary, mature them in a laboratory, and then freeze those eggs. That therapy has shown to have some benefit in primates, but we do not yet have success in human subjects, in human patients.
Dr. Appiah, is there any benefit to minimizing the activity of, I mean, we drop a certain number of eggs, men create a certain number of sperm. If they're going through testicular cancer or ovarian or any of these other types, is there any benefit to minimizing the activity that those organs do prior to chemotherapy or radiation?
Yes. So we have a tool at our disposal or a medication at our disposal called gonadotropin-releasing hormone agonist. We call it GnRH agonist for short. There have been several studies, particularly in breast cancer patients, that suggests that there is protection to the ovary by use of this medication. And the thought is that the medication puts the ovary into a quiescent or kind of a sleep phase, therefore decreasing the amount of chemotherapy that can affect the ovary. Again, this is investigational, but there have been some studies that show that there's a benefit and that it can protect the ovary, particularly in breast cancer patients. A very interesting area of research, and my particular area of research, is in identifying other therapies to help decrease the risk of harm to ovaries and testes prior to chemotherapy. These agents are very investigational, and most of the studies are in animals. However, we hope to be able to test in humans.
It's absolutely fascinating, Dr. Appiah. Just the last few minutes, if you would, please give the listeners your best advice for those who are, fearful. They're going through cancer treatment. It's a very scary time anyway, but they'd like to look forward with hope to the future of having children. Your best advice and why they should consider coming to UK Healthcare for their care.
Sure. So we do a really great job now of helping patients to survive their cancer. And so all of our efforts now are towards quality of life. And so we do a great job of now educating patients about their options, and we do a really great job of taking the patient through the process. It's a very daunting process. There's a lot to think about, but we are with the patient every step of the way, from the time of diagnosis to the time of contact with the fertility specialist, and we keep a relationship with our patients into survivorship. There are many issues that patients are unaware of as they come out of their cancer diagnosis, and we are here to help them navigate those issues so that they can reach their reproductive potential. So I would say to all patients, ask your doctor, what are the options that are available for me, and how do I get in contact with the fertility specialist? And know that when you ask that question, we will be there to help you through the entire process.
It's great information. Thank you so much. You're listening to Advances and Insights with UK Healthcare in Lexington, Kentucky. For more information, you can go to ukhealthcare.uky.edu. That's ukhealthcare.uky.edu. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.